how-tos for loving God and loving others, how to live out the great commandment. Time for Intimate Moments with Dr. David Ferguson of Intimate Life Ministries. Today, a reminder to count and express your blessings.
Again, maybe I was listening to the radio today and I was reminded of what a blessing is to have great friends like you, to have a family that cares for me and loves me. Allow the Lord to kind of stir your gladness up. It's great to have a relationship with a God who hears you, listens to you, who, when you woke up this morning, was kind of longing to love you. Let him stir your heart with gladness, and then give testimony about him.
Dr. David Ferguson with Intimate Life Ministries. For more tips on Great Commandment living and loving, greatcommandment.net, greatcommandment.net. Great Commandment Living Conferences, coming soon to a city near you. Whether you're a pastor or lay leader, student or counselor, single or married, a Great Commandment Living Conference from Intimate Life Ministries will equip you for effective living and ministry in a postmodern world. You'll gain insights into postmodern challenges and opportunities, enrichment in your own relationships with God and others, and equipping in a fresh method for relevant ministry. Great Commandment Living Conferences. For more information, go to www.greatcommandment.net or call Katie at 800-881-8008, extension 206. That's the Great Commandment Living Conference at www.greatcommandment.net or 1-800-881-8008, extension 206.
Well, have you ever walked in on someone, loved one, family member, and you observe the behavior? Maybe it's slamming doors. Maybe it's the banging of pots and pans. And
maybe it's squealing tires.
Squealing tire.
Throwing a tantrum.
Throwing tantrums, yes.
You can relate, can't you? Tantrums, squealing tires, slam doors. That's the real world. But how does our Sunday world, the stuff we talk about when we go to church or Bible study or Sunday school class, how does that apply to the rest of the week? How can you experience your Christianity in the real world? It's time for Great Commandment Radio, daily, biblical, and very practical how-tos for loving God, for loving others, how-tos for living out the Great Commandment. Dr. David and Teresa Ferguson of Intimate Life Ministries are your hosts, and our topic this week, asking the right questions, therefore finding the right answers that fit for the real world. Here's Dr. David Ferguson with our guest this week, Terry Ferguson Sneed.
Let's see. Not that any of that happens in our home, but oh, whining. Oh, no, just getting carried away. Go ahead.
And in the midst of that, my words are, what's wrong with you now? Now, Terry, let's just ask, has that ever helped?
Let's see, I'm thinking no.
That's thinking no. We're glad you've joined us for Great Commandment Radio, as this week, father-daughter team are on the air with you, and I'll kind of give you some of these marital insights as I've walked in on, the mom, who happens to not be in the studio today, so we'll talk about some of her cabinet door slamming and banging pots and pans, and she'll get equal time next week, and then maybe Terry can talk a little bit about, teenagers that squeal tires and, preschoolers who whine and some of that. And in the midst of that, we're going to talk about, let's ask some different questions than we normally ask. In other words, it's probably not helpful to say, what's wrong with you now? Terry, in your mom and I's marriage conferences, I oftentimes tell the startling story of finally after 10 or 12 years of saying, what's wrong with you now? And God began to say, I don't think that's the best question to ask. And he began to challenge me on today's program, what we'll call What Truth Needs to Be Experienced. The challenge for me was, David, what kind of Bible verses, Bible truth, actually do you need to be experiencing rather than the irrelevant questions you're asking? And I remember in that journey, he brought me to a point where Proverbs 15:1 that I kind of had hidden away in my head, he made real in my heart. Says, a gentle answer turns away anger. And the time I walked into the door in the evening, and there was some irritation in the room. Your mom had gone through a very painful transaction with one of her siblings. She was very hurt and upset about it. And yet, finally, that day, many years into marriage, I was able to say, "Sweetheart, I can really see that you're hurting. And I just want you to know, whatever's going on, I care." And I hugged her. And Terry, it was miraculous. She got better. It was wonderful. And I remember thinking, I tell the men all the time, I remember telling the men just last week, I remember thinking, you should write that down, David. You finally found something that works.
Got to repeat those, don't you?
That's right. And God kind of gently said, you know what that was, David? You experienced the truth of a Bible verse. That's what today's program is about. What truth needs to be experienced in my life? What Bible verses that we've heard, taken notes on, maybe filled in the blanks with last Sunday need to be experienced in my life in order to enrich the relationships in my world? How about you? Would there be truths that need to be experienced? Proverbs 15:1 is just one of them. Next time you see an irritated, frustrated, angry person, try some gentle words. You know what, Terry, at greatcommandment.net, we've got some free downloads there. In fact, this is a part of the radio ministry that you actually help with.
Yes, I do.
Among the many around here and writing books and teaching stuff is to have free downloads at greatcommandment.net. And this week's download has a long list of Bible verses to be experienced. And there's a bunch of them on there, as I recall.
There's probably 40 on here that we could actually practice living out.
Now, we're talking about not taking notes and writing down, filling the blanks. We're talking about experienced, as it says. In my heart that day, there was an experiencing of Proverbs 15:1. I wonder if the experiencing of Bible verses could bless your home, enrich your relationship with your teenagers who may be squealing tires, or preschoolers who seem to be whining, or spouses who are slamming things. I wonder if experiencing Bible verses could help. What a possibility. On Great Commandment Radio, we want to explore that with you. And we'll do so as we continue this week's journey with the Good Samaritan. Wonderful story from the New Testament of how this Good Samaritan, in contrast to the priest and the Levite, actually experienced truth. Seems obvious from the story, Terry, that the priest and the Levite, with all their religious garb and all of their spiritual merit badges, if you will, would have known a lot of Bible truth.
Yep, they studied it every day.
That was one of their things. They knew a lot of truth. And yet it's very interesting, in contrast to that, the Good Samaritan actually did some Bible verses. He actually experienced some. And that was the difference in the life of this person laying beside the road. You know what? God might be able to make a huge difference in people around you as you begin to experience more of His truth. Our teaching segment, explore that with us as you and I have the opportunity to become a 21st century Good Samaritan. Thanks for joining us. Teaching segment's next.
Dr. David Ferguson along with Terry Sneed of Intimate Life Ministries. Again today we have a free download waiting for you, and we'll remind you, you have our permission to pass it on to your pastor, co-workers, friends, or family. Today's free download, more how-tos for practicing relational first aid. Go to greatcommandment.net, www.greatcommandment.net. There you can catch this broadcast and others, find out about our Great Commandment network of churches, and resources like our relational first aid training course. We'll give you a snippet of that coming up next on Great Commandment Radio. Would you like for more people in your church, in your community, to experience the how-tos of loving God and loving others just a little bit better? Living out the greatest of all commandments. Perhaps we can be of help. Go to our website, greatcommandment.net. That's www.greatcommandment.net. You'll find a schedule for workshops going on around the country, literally around the world. Workshops that are hands-on, experiential, where people walk away knowing the Bible works. And you can find out how you or your church can sponsor workshops on topics such as parenting, single adult living, marriage, church leadership, and more. It's all at greatcommandment.net. Greatcommandment.net. Great Commandment Living. It's worth spreading around.
just the opportunity and challenge for us to experience a deepened sense of community. That deepened sense that the Bible talks about of true connectedness with one another.
It's time for Intimate Moments with Dr. David Ferguson of Intimate Life Ministries, how-tos for loving God and loving others.
But again, practically, what does that look like? You know, how about some homework like this? Make a list. Make a list of some of those people in your life that it might be good to get to know better. Maybe there's some folks in your community, maybe someone in your small group, just a few folks in your life, maybe even some family members. And then let's explore, how are we going to get to know them better? That's the key word.
Dr. David Ferguson, for more tips on Great Commandment living, loving, and community, go to greatcommandment.net, greatcommandment.net.
There were lots of people that got married in our town during that time, real young. When you grew up in a small Texas panhandle town that had zip to do, there wasn't anything else to do but, you know, escape.
Why did you get married? Why do you stay married? Obligation for the kids? Ever say to yourself, there's got to be more to marriage than this? Call now to order Intimate Encounters from Intimate Life Ministries, a tried and tested program for discovering the secrets of a really great marriage.
It was very painful, very painful. The days seemed to be okay, but the nights were a nightmare.
Worksheets, exercises, and personal inventories to help you gain a better understanding of each other's deepest feelings and needs, resulting in a new close marriage.
He's really a balance for me, and he's my gift, and I receive him, and I wouldn't have anybody else, ever.
Order Intimate Encounters, 1-800-881-8008. Thanks for joining us today for Great Commandment Radio. We continue our series, Asking the Right Questions. And all of this week, we've been taking you into our practical training course. Practical because it applies to the real world. Practical because we all know people who are hurting and in pain and in need of help. Practical because we can all be good Samaritans. The training course is Relational First Aid. At the end of this segment, I'll tell you how you can attend the entire course. But first, here's Dr. David Ferguson.
What truth is to be experienced. Now, very briefly, here's the challenge. I wish there was an easier way to do this one, but this one requires that you hide the word in your heart. There's no other easy way to do this one. If we're going to be effective good Samaritans, you're going to find yourself in situations where the Spirit of God is going to want to touch your heart concerning truth that's been hidden away in your heart. For you to then be able to speak, here's truth that's needing to be experienced into your life. You won't have the opportunity to go run looking for concordances. Okay? You won't have the opportunity to go flipping pages. You're going to have to hide the word away in your heart. Now here's the picture I'd like for you to get of the importance of this as it relates to people laying beside the road. Jesus gives an insightful passage in John chapter 12. When in 34 verse 35 he says this, he says, walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He's given a principle that says all you have to do for the darkness to overtake you is to stop walking in the light. He's making specific reference to the fact that he is the light and that you better walk with him then, or the darkness will overtake you. But I want you to think about that principle just a moment. Oftentimes, why people are laying beside the road is because darkness has overtaken them because they've stopped walking. You see, if you go out here in the middle of this parking lot in the middle of the day, all you have to do for darkness to get you is just stand still. And the principle that the Lord is trying to teach us, there, all of us have had experiences with people, with church members, with friends, with family members who at one time were serving the Lord with great passion. They were following the Lord with great excitement. And we look back and they've fallen away. One way to describe the why of that is that they have ceased to walk in the light. And darkness did what? It overtook them.
That principle is critically important if we're going to be a good caregiver. Because what it's telling us is that God wants us to have a principle of walking in light, lest darkness get us. So many people laying beside the road are there because the walking in light has ceased. Now, just briefly, we could explore in the Scriptures the sources of light. And we're going to focus on one particular one, but in the Scriptures you'll find at least three distinctively different sources of light that we need to walk in. The psalmist in Psalms 36:9 says this. He says, "In Thy light, O Lord, we have light." What it's telling us is that you and I don't have light unless it comes from Him. You and I are forever going to walk in darkness. Our ways will never be His ways. Our thoughts will never be His thoughts. In Thy light, O Lord, we have light. And then God comes and He says, let me give you some sources of light. I've mentioned one of them earlier in John 8:12. Jesus, one day with His disciples, He says, "I am the light of the world." It's the one that's made reference to in John 12:35 here, as Jesus talks about Him being the light of the world. One of the sources of light that we have is the light of Jesus Christ. We need to walk in that light. It's one of the critical reasons we must worship, is because in worship we are walking in the light of the person of Jesus. It's critically one of the reasons we want to spend quiet devotional time, meditation of Him, because in Him is light.
Dr. David Ferguson, training in being a good Samaritan. We call it relational first aid. And you can be certified in relational first aid by attending the entire course. Comes with a workbook and media kit, including audio CDs or DVDs. And it's perfect for group settings like Bible studies and Sunday school classes. Relational first aid. All of the orders go to support local Christian radio, which administers first aid in your own backyard and to your own life. So support the station that supports your community and learn how to become a good Samaritan, a great Samaritan. Relational first aid. That's www.greatcommandment.net. Greatcommandment.net. We'll continue Great Commandment Radio right after this break. Intimate Life Ministries has a question for you. How can we serve you? Perhaps individually, with resources for marriages, for singles, for parents, for church leadership. Perhaps through our Intimate Life Enrichment Center, intensive care retreats around the country for families, single adults, married couples, ministry leaders. Perhaps through a More Than Married workshop, or our Never Alone initiative, or our Galatians 6:6 ministry to ministers and their spouses. How can we be of service to you? Well, first, find out more about us. We're Intimate Life Ministries at www.greatcommandment.net or toll-free 1-800-881-8008. That's 1-800-881-8008 or www.greatcommandment.net.
The first part of experiencing great fellowship is to get to know people.
That's Dr. David Ferguson, and this is Intimate Moments, how-tos for loving God and loving others, experiencing the great commandment. Today, taking the first step toward fellowship.
Knowing things like their interest and activities. Wouldn't it interesting that Jesus would find Himself, this carpenter from Nazareth, down at the seashore? Why was He down there? Why was He down there with those nets and fish? It was because some of the disciples had interest, activities related to fishing.
In the next 24 hours, take that first step toward fellowship. Become involved in the lives of others around you. And for more tips on Great Commandment Living, GreatCommandment.net, GreatCommandment.net. Thanks for joining us today for Great Commandment Radio. We want to take just a minute to tell you a little bit about our ministry. Our ministry focuses on helping ministers, their families, their marriages, their kids, and their churches We support ministers and churches. That's what we're all about. If you're a pastor, we invite you to visit our website at greatcommandment.net. Greatcommandment.net. We have free sermon downloads for you. We can tell you about Galatians 6:6 getaways for ministers and their spouses, and so much more. And if you're joining us out there, we encourage you, support your ministry team in your local church. Any way you can. They're good people doing good work spreading the good news. You're married. Things are okay, or maybe not. Aloneness in a marriage can produce a wide variety of emotions, thoughts, and feelings that can destroy a marriage. Change the pattern. You've been married a few months or a few years. Your intimacy could be better. You know the problems are about the ways you relate, but how can you change? Never Alone Devotions for Couples by David and Teresa Ferguson will help you give and receive love in a whole new way. Through these proven principles, you will find fresh strength to join with Christ to meet each other's relational needs. You can and you will improve your marriage and grow spiritually as a couple. Order the Never Alone Devotions for Couples today. Call toll-free 1-800-881-8008. That's 1-800-881-8008. Discover true spiritual and marital intimacy through the Never Alone Devotions for Couples.
Terry, I think in this closing segment, really what we're talking about today as we observe it in the life of the Good Samaritan is probably what the Bible calls, we are not to be just hearers of the Word.
But we're to be doers of it.
Doers of the Word. And so in this closing segment, let's talk about a few Bible verses that we might actually do. We might actually do them. We've talked earlier about doing Proverbs 15:1. Let's look, actually kind of go looking for irritated people. Let's go looking for those who are frustrated and irritated and angry. Let's go looking for them. And Terry, you won't have to go very far today.
That's true.
And let's just do Proverbs 15:1. Let's give some gentle answers. You know, I happened to be in a restaurant the other day, and the person who waited on me, you could just tell it was like, it had not been a good day. You know, I mean, there was kind of the slamming of coffee cups, and there was a banging in silverware and everything. And, you know, I remember thinking, my first reaction is going to be, well, I'm out of here. You know, it was almost that reaction that says, I don't have to put up with this. And God kind of just softened me up a little bit, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to be nice.
I'm going to
be
a
nice.
Thought.
Yeah, I'm going to be nice, see what happens, you know. And, you know, a few minutes came back, and, you know, I was able to experience a little of Proverbs 15:1. I was able to just kind of work the conversation. You know, they came back over and said something like, you know, well, what can I help you with today? And I just said, you know, I'm having a good day, and I think I'd enjoy this. And sometimes when I'm having a tough day, it helps me to know that somebody cares. And I just said to this person, looks like you might be having a tough day. And if so, just want you to know, I could care. I really do. Now, this was happens to be a weight person that I go into frequently. Hmm. So this guy, he sees me often. And I had enough of a relationship with him to kind of venture out there and say, it looks like you're having a bad day. I just want you to know I care. You see, we're talking about actually doing Bible verses. Another one that I know that I'm challenged with is Ephesians 4:29. That one talks about speaking words that edify rather than unwholesome words. I think we're all faced. In other words, let's think about the rest of your day, the rest of my day. Would there be opportunities today for us to say either unwholesome words? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Unwholesome
or,
words.
Or words that edify, let's say edify means like build up.
Build up.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That I'm going to want to build up with my words and not tear people down with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And so will there be any opportunity today for us to practice that verse?
Mm.
Yeah. In other words, somebody pulls out in front of us on the expressway. That would be an opportunity for unwholesome words. Right?
Right, right, right.
Yep.
Yeah, or if, let's see, if I'm my kids playing on the playground and they stumble and trip and I don't say something like, oh, that's the, you sure are clumsy today.
Yep.
That would kind of be tearing down, right?
Or let's suppose I get home tonight and were to observe no smell of cooking food in this house. And make an observation that will we be going out again this week? That could be perceived by your mom as unwholesome words, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would duck, right? Maybe we have the opportunity today to look for opportunities to speak words that build up, you know, to be able to affirm and encourage people rather than saying words that tear down. That's just experiencing a Bible verse. Yesterday, Terry, I had to experience another one. It's called James 5:16.
Oh, yeah. You got to experience that one, too?
I did. Mm. We were at a training conference, and we had a number of pastors and our trainer leaders out with us. And one of our team members, Jim Walter, had arranged to have lunch with this particular couple. And I needed Jim to help me with another relational issue. And so I kind of sidetracked Jim to get him to help me with this other relational issue. And it kind of unraveled on us a little bit. And, you know, another minute goes by, and then 5 minutes goes by, and 10 minutes goes by. And it's not long until I've taken about 40 minutes of Jim's time, which means I've taken 40 minutes of the other couple's time that was waiting on Jim.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And it's one of those where you kind of lose total control of time or total remembrance of time. And finally, when Jim and I got to a point that we could, you know, kind of apart, I said, "Now, Jim, I can't just send you back over to this couple for you to apologize to them that you've kind of stood them up. I've got to go do that." And so I had to go back over there, the other dining room, and just say to them, it was really insensitive of me to pull Jim off, to get him involved in this, when I should have known, I could have known, that it was going to go like that. And it was really insensitive of me to do that, because you had this time plan with Jim. That was really wrong of me. Will you forgive me?
Mm.
Of course, they forgave me, and then they jumped up celebrating. Hey, you really practice this stuff you teach, you know, and you just hate it when they do that, you know. Like, you know, they're saying, hey, yeah, I just figured you're teaching this stuff. You don't really live it, you know. So when they start celebrating, you know, that you're really living it, that, you know, that just kind of pushes the dagger in deeper.
Yeah, yeah. You know? You get to practice that humility that you teach about too, right?
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, just who have I apologized to lately is always a good challenging question, because I don't think most of us go very long. Okay. I won't put you on the spot to say, now, how long has it been, Tara, since you've apologized? but I would say, I don't think most of us go just months and months and months
without needing to apologize. Yeah. I'd say a couple days tops.
Yeah. Now, we may have gone months and months since we apologized.
Right. But the need was certainly there.
The need was there. How about you? Would there be someone in your life who could be blessed by you experiencing simply confess your faults to one another, pray with one another, that you may be healed? All kinds of Bible verses that God's given us, knowing that truth sets us free. We're glad you've joined us today, and hopefully tomorrow, for our TGIF version of Great Commandment Radio, as together we explore all week long lessons from the Good Samaritan. You know, God's calling each of us into that ministry as a Good Samaritan. And one of the ways we do it is to actually take Bible verses. Even as we look ahead maybe to this Lord's Day, and maybe you'll hear some Bible verses. Maybe you'll actually take some notes. You might even see them on PowerPoint. Might the Spirit of God say to us, let's experience those this week with those nearest us. That's a part of the Great Commandment journey of loving Him, loving near ones. Thanks again for joining us. Bye now.
That's Dr. David Ferguson, along with Terry Sneed of Great Commandment Radio and Intimate Life Ministries. You can find out more about Intimate Life Ministries, how we support churches and ministry couples and people like you and me with our Great Commandment network of churches, getaways for ministry couples and resources for marriages, single parents, traditional families, and Christian singles, and church leadership, and much more. It's all available at greatcommandment.net. And don't forget, every day a free download today, more practical how-tos for becoming a great Samaritan, relational first aid. Go to greatcommandment.net and order the entire relational first aid training course. You'll be supporting local Christian radio at the same time. That's relational first aid, daily free downloads, churches, and much more at greatcommandment.net. www.greatcommandment.net. We wrap up our series, Asking the Right Questions, on the next edition of Great Commandment Radio.